It is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to
Jay and Matt in the Morning.
Starring
Matt George,
Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's
Jay and Matt in the Morning. Good job filling in for the other guy, Jay. Matt, good try.
She's fair. Honest, man.
It's fair.
She's Buddy Hield levels of honest.
No, it's progress. Good try, I'll take it.
Progress is good, man.
As long as you attempt. You
as
know?
Long as you're going up and not down, even if the even if up is not moving very fast,
it's pretty
it's
much
a slow climb.
It's a flat treadmill at this point with a little tiny bit of incline when I want the calves to burn a tiny bit.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Jay Mars, Matt George, and for Carmichael Dave, who will return from his bunker in Oregon.
Bunker.
Yeah, he's in a bunker. When you don't know the location, I just automatically go to bunker. So, Dave and the family, probably driving home as we speak, because that is not a quick drive, and I'm pretty sure they drove up there. So, I'm sure he has us on the KHTK app, listening dutifully.
How was the drive to San Diego, by the way?
I didn't drive.
Oh, that's right, you flew.
I fly.
That's right. Listen. I'm making that drive with my mom here for a wedding in, 3 weeks.
It's not a fun drive to San Diego. L.A. is about as far as I go. San Diego, that extra couple hours is not for me.
I mean, I drove all the way. My wife and I drove all the way to Arizona for spring training. So can't be that bad.
Now that's a hell of a drive. I've heard multiple people do that drive, and that you have to stay overnight somewhere, right?
Nope. We did all the way through the whole thing. We did all the way
through. Was that 16 hours?
I don't know how much it was. We started at literally 5 a.m. and we got there around. It was when they were an hour. Faster or slower? I can't
remember.
They're
faster than us.
Yeah, an hour faster. And we got there 5 or 6 p.m. So it was
not bad.
All day thing. No, I mean, I tell you what, driving
How'd
to Arizona.
How'd you pass the time?
Driving to Arizona makes the drive to L.A. feel like a breeze because
I'm sure. Is
the halfway point, basically. So you get to L.A. and then you go all the way. The most boring part of that drive is when you leave California and it's like a 2-lane freeway / highway through nothing but just dead desert. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. There's nothing there. But to pass the time, my wife slept. I just listened to audiobooks and stuff.
There you go. Matt George giving you all the details you need and all the tips you need if you're going to travel from Sacramento to Arizona.
Just fly.
I was just going to say, flying works.
Just fly.
If it's in the budget, buy airfare. And guess what? Airfare to San Diego was in the budget, so I chose to fly. That's just how that works.
Did you get a rental car?
Oh, of course.
Was it easy?
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard it's hard to get a rental car right now.
I had no problem. I got a cheap rental car, actually. For 3 days, I paid less than $200.
You didn't get, a Corvette?
No. See, here's the thing.
Boring.
When I go rental car, I go as cheap as possible.
Boring.
I was in a little Nissan Versa.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it, except it gets to, 0 to 65 in about 20 minutes.
Uh-oh.
So, outside of that, you're right. There's nothing. It's great on gas.
On my honeymoon in Kauai, Hawaii.
Kauai, Hawaii. You got to stop that.
My wife and I, we rented a Jeep Wrangler. That was fun.
Oh, no. If you're, listen.
That was fun.
A honeymoon is different, dude.
A Jeep Wrangler was the best.
A honeymoon, now I will upgrade my car, but for a little 2 to 3 day getaway, the Nissan Versa is just fine.
I feel that. I'm just saying, Jeep Wranglers, they're fun to drive.
All right. Buddy Hield was on Chris Haynes' podcast yesterday via Yahoo, and the one thing I've always liked, Buddy Hield is a guy who comes under a lot of scrutiny here in Sacramento for a multitude of reasons. But one thing about Buddy is an honest guy. And for that, I have always liked and I've always respected Buddy Hield. And, he had some really forthcoming answers yesterday. I want to start with him talking about Dave Yeager's 2019 Kings, his breakout year, and kind of, his thoughts on that team, certain players, which we're going to discuss, and just the overall year for him as a player.
And I was coming off a year, I think in my second year, I was with Dave Yeager. He was with Dave Yeager group. And then after that, I remember Bogey was playing with his team. And me and Bogey fighting for his 2-guard spot. We're head to head and we're competing. And Bogey's my guy. We're best. We're good. We're great friends. We be checking each other every day. He had a great season with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
And he got hurt. And I realized, I said, man, I got to do more because – and, everybody's coming to training camp. I figure, Bogey's out. It's going to be, okay, well, this Buddy spot regardless because Bogey's out. And, I was like, this is my chance to go out there and just, show Buddy what I can do. And I think that Dave and everybody, and Fox, and where we were going, we were in good situations where we just they would excel and take off. And like him and Elson Turner, and just put me in like good situation where, you know, like I was just in a different swagger at that time. You know, I was playing with a swagger with that group, you know, and it was fast, it was free, and no disrespect to nobody. I'm just trying to say that that's when I get over the hump. They helped me get over the hump, and like I feel like the confidence level was great where they were giving me, and I think that like the way him and Elson and everybody in the group that we had, and Iman Shumpert, and Zach in and out, they're just helping us, you know, like that group we had, we had like a whole different swagger to us, you know. We like, you know, all those guys helped lift us up, you know, and like from the coaching staff to, you know, to the players, like Iman was big, the swag he brought to the game, you know, that was big for us. So like, you know, so I think that him and all the J Mars and everybody was there, it was great for us. Great for me too. It's great for me too. And we thought we had it figured out, but after it's just basketball. We gotta figure it out, man. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, two things. One, I like that he shouted me out. Who was he talking about? It sounded like he said J Mars.
It sounded like it.
It sounded like he said J Mars. I'm just gonna roll with that and say like I was a big part of that 2019 team and helped bring the swagger there. Speaking of that, I thought it was very interesting when you really break down his comments. There's certain things he said. Swagger, confidence, free. What happened to that guy? Because he hasn't played that way in two seasons, I feel like. I feel like the guy we saw, and it's interesting because you hear so much about the issues Buddy had by the end of the year with Dave Yeager, right? But he really took time to praise both Yeager and that coaching staff in that clip right there.
I think I want to say the J. Mars shout out, or what sounded like a J. Mars shout out, was like, wasn't there, and I'm blanking. Jason March, thank you, the assistant coach.
Sounds like he says J. Mars,
though. Yeah, it 100% does. But, so this is a great clip, I think, to start with, Jay, because it sets the tone really well for what were good comments from Buddy Hield throughout this interview. Mm-hmm. Like, I was very impressed listening to this, just with what Buddy had to say. I think he came off really, really well here. There are some things that make me go, and make from this clip, like, he talks about and he praises Dave Yeager and Dave Yeager's system
Elson
for how
Turner.
For how he was allowed to play free. But we also know that Buddy Hield had issues with Dave Yeager, and Buddy Hield was part, not the sole reason, but he was part of the contingency in the locker room that didn't necessarily get along with Dave Yeager because of his abrasive style that ultimately led to Yeager being fired and the Kings hiring a player's coach in Luke Walton. You asked what's the big difference between playing free and how he's playing now? The major difference is Luke Walton and how he wants Buddy Hield to play. But Buddy is 100% right when he talks about that team, because the way they played under Yeager, that freestyle, that up-and-down style, that year that he had because of that is what got him this contract.
Yep, 100%.
He is making money today because of Dave Yeager's system. And while I do believe that, to some extent, long-term Yeager's system could have worked, we did see them struggle when adjustments were made in the second half of the season. Yeah. I still think Luke Walton's system, which is a more general, average, standard NBA-style system, which needs more than just shooting and fast break offense from Buddy, it's shown that Buddy is not that kind of player.
No.
So there's give and take to both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like the Kings play slow. Last year, they were one of the fastest teams in the league as opposed to pace. So it's not like they're not playing with pace. But to your point, that was the big issue with the Yeager system. It worked great at first, but once teams figured it out and started defending against the fast break and the Kings had to get into the half court, it was kind of a wrap from there.
Yeah, the Kings tired everybody out in the first half of the season, right, Jay? But then once teams got up to one, regular season form in terms of stamina, and then two, scouting reports said, okay, just stop them in the fast break, make them play half court offense, and they fall apart.
Yeah, and so Buddy also, right at the end of that clip, alluded to they thought they had it figured it out. But then he says, yeah, but, you know, it's basketball. We certainly didn't. Here's him more so on the Kings' inconsistencies.
You know, we just got to figure it out, man. We have so much talent, but we just not going to be able to figure it out. And it's kind of depressing. You know, it's frustrating. We just can't figure it out. And, you know, and guys wanted to try to figure it out, but it just being hard to figure it out. And, you know, but we grown men in a day, and it's us on us. It's not on nobody else. It can't be, you know, we put as players, me, you put the blame on ourselves. We can't put the blame on the coaches, none of that. And you know, they all try to put us in positions to make the best for the best ability, a best situation for ourselves. So you know, it's not it's nobody's fault. You know, us as players got to lock in and just take ownership and doing everything collectively on the basketball court to make that streak go away from not making the playoffs. And you know, Sacramento fan base, a great fan base. You know, but I say it's once on the players just to just got to figure it out, man. Basketball is hard, but it's not hard. You just got to figure it out and play the right way. And I don't believe in luck. I believe that when God gives you the opportunity to do something, He's gonna do it. He's gonna bless you. So just making the, you know, just coming together as a group and just freaking it out, man. Just putting all our differences aside, that's for the better cause, and just locking in an ultimate goal. And that's the goal, is to get the playoff, and then you make steps after that.
Chris didn't ask a follow-up there, but I kind of wish he would have, and I'm not here to critique Chris Haynes, who's great at what he does. I wish he would have asked him more about the idea of putting our differences aside, and what does that actually mean? Is that just Buddy using more of a, you know, figure of speech,
yeah,
a term, or is there legit issues in that locker room with certain guys that need to be put aside for the better of the team? If I'm guessing, I'm saying it's the latter, not the former.
Yeah. Well, you think there's issues in the locker room, you mean?
I don't think Buddy said that just as a form of speech, no. When he says put our differences aside, I think, and I'm not saying there's some, like, dramatic divide in the locker room.
Sure.
I'm not saying that at all.
Disagreements.
But I think more so from a basketball standpoint, I think guys do get in disagreements, which is natural on any team, but it seems that those disagreements cause some issues on the court.
That may very well be. You know, I agree with Buddy Hield that this team is significantly talented, significantly more talented than what they've shown.
Yeah.
But I also believe, just having watched this group for the last 3+ years now, really, like, this group, and I'm talking about more the core, not necessarily the entire group, I just don't think it works. Like, I think it's a group of players that can be successful, that are great individual basketball players, that don't work together. Buddy Hield worked really well with De'Aaron Fox with one style of play, which is fast break, get up and down the floor, Buddy catch and shoot. But in the half court, I don't think Buddy and Fox work well together. I don't think Fox and Bagley work well together. I don't think Buddy and Bagley work well together. I think it's just a compilation of a lot of things. I think Tyrese Halliburton can almost work with anybody.
Well, that's what makes Tyrese great, right? He doesn't want to be the guy. He just wants to say, like, oh, that's the guy. Okay, I'm going to help make him better while just, I'm going to stay out of the way and just do the things that need to help the team win.
Right, but Buddy talks about in this clip, right? Like, why can't we figure it out? It's frustrating that we can't figure it out. There's two things there. One, this team is uber inconsistent with the effort that they give individually and as a unit, especially on the defensive end. But number two, and this is, I think, the bigger thing, they can't figure it out because I just don't think this group just doesn't gel. They're not cohesive enough.
Here's the telling point, and I'm gonna put a bow on your point. Is you look at the Kings last year, right? You could point to almost everyone on that roster and say that as an individual player, they made strides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Buddy kind of remained flat, which isn't awful. I don't think he
made maybe a slight progression in certain areas.
But he certainly didn't fall down.
No.
Right.
I would say no.
His value didn't fall, and he didn't fall from where it was a year prior. Put it that way.
If anything undercut Buddy Hield's value, it's his contract.
Right. But I'm just saying, from an on-court standpoint, he didn't do anything on the court to drop his value
anymore. I would agree with that.
But De'Aaron Fox took steps.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese Halliburton obviously had a great base that he set himself up with as a rookie. I would say Rashawn Holmes made a leap. Harrison Barnes made a leap. All your core guys, minus Marvin Bagley, made a leap. So, to your point,
Bagley even made progress.
Yeah, Bagley made progress at times,
yeah.
although he still looked just completely lost on the defensive side. We don't got to get into all of that.
Yeah.
But so when you got guys all making an individual leap and the team's not doing it, I think it proves your point. It just, you have really good individual pieces that when you put them together, don't fit. It doesn't fit. You need some differences in that locker room, both on the court and off the court from a personality standpoint. And I think any number of guys, if the Kings were to get off of a Buddy Hield, I think if you put Buddy Hield in more of a, as he said, a free flowing offense, Buddy Hield's going to be really good somewhere. Buddy Hield can be really good for teams. It's just here in Sacramento, if you have basically said, hey, De'Aaron and Tyrese are our guys, yeah, there's some of these parts, Matt, they need to get off and find better fitting parts. Not that these are bad basketball players.
Yeah, I think this is pretty common for someone who's at 28 years old and in the spot in his career that Buddy is. He doesn't necessarily have the years of experience like a 28-year-old normally would in the NBA. But Buddy, we know what Buddy is. We know where Buddy is, what he's capped out to be, which is an elite shooter who is fine to below average at basically everything else. can't play very good defense, is a better passer, I think, made strides as a playmaker this year. He can't handle the basketball beyond a couple of dribbles.
He's shown he can rebound if he really gets into the paint and tries.
Right. And he's trying to communicate more. He's trying to grow as a leader, which I do appreciate. But the reality is we know what Buddy Hield is. And for what Buddy Hield is, he is overpaid, especially for a team like Sacramento, who is not established enough systematically to plug him in correctly.
I agree.
Versus going to a market like, let's just use Philadelphia as an example because they need shooting. You can plug him into what they do there and understand what his role is going to be pretty clearly.
Shoot the ball.
Here in Sacramento, it's exactly what Luke Walton has said. And I understand what Luke Walton's coming from, saying we're paying you this much money. I need you to do more than just shoot. Walton's right there. But that's not Buddy's game. So it's the mixture of optimizing your player and putting him in a position to succeed. And Buddy Hield, you need to do more than just one thing because you can't be effective on a team like Sacramento just being a one-trick pony.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned Philadelphia is a team that he would plug in well. Will Buddy Hield be a king next year? Here's what he thinks about it.
I mean, that's not my problem. That's not my job. You need a job up to Vivek and Monty. That's why you hire those guys to do that. You know, my job is to go there and play basketball, and everybody goes to get the playoffs and win the championship. And we haven't been done that. And like I said, everything's not being smoothly. I've seen my name in trade rumors, but I can't control that. But people, that's where writers and everybody envision me or what's the best for the players. So I'm just being ready to go into Sacramento each and every just off season to go out there and play and compete. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I can't do nothing but that. I just want to go out there and just focus on how can I improve this summer. And if I get traded, how can I improve the next team for that coming up year? So I can't worry. I'm not like, you know, last 2 years I was worrying about that, but now I'm just focusing on just like how can I get better each this off season. So if I'm in Sacramento or on a different team, so I can be ready and help my team in basketball games.
So that was a good answer, but it's funny. That was also probably the most like PR-ish answer that I think Buddy gave in that whole interview, and correctly so, by the way.
Yeah, I like this from Buddy. You know, I thought this was really, really well said and well handled from Buddy. Players care a lot more than they will let on. That is just the nature of the business. Like, that is how it's always going to be. So I don't expect anything different out of Buddy Hield with this answer. I give him a lot of credit with how he answered this. I give him a lot of credit for focusing on what he can control. And the two biggest areas of praise that I could ever give Buddy Hield that I will never, ever take away from him or fail to mention even when being critical. Number one, his availability is phenomenal. He is always available. He rarely is hurt, or he rarely misses games because of injury.
Right.
That's phenomenal. Number two is Buddy Hield is one of the hardest workers in the NBA. And that will never, ever, ever be in question. So when he says, I'm just focusing this offseason, I'm playing with the Kings, I'm working out with the Kings, I'm still a King, so I'm working as if I'm going to be a King going forward. I believe that. I really believe that. What I thought was interesting in this, though, Jay, is who does he say the first name of who it's up to? He said Vivek.
Yep.
Which I don't want to read the tea leaves
too
much.
No, don't read that. I'm not going to read
those
tea leaves.
But I just thought it was, I cracked a smile when I heard it like, okay. Mm-hmm. I just cracked a smile. I
think he understands that there is a hierarchy there.
Yeah, no big deal.
I don't think there was anything nefarious in what he said there. I think he just meant more so. Why is Dave calling?
I don't know. Should I put him on hold?
Yeah, put him on hold.
All right, I'll put him on hold.
The next segment. He just texted me. I'm trying to call the inside line. Yeah, dude, we know. We're in the middle of a show. Jeez.
I think I just hung,
you
up,
hung
on
up on him.
Oh. Or he just dropped right as I put him on hold. Either way, who cares? Sorry, Dave.
Anyways,
we're doing a show.
Back to Buddy Hield. So, yeah, I'm not going to look too much into those comments. Finally, here is him on what advice he would give Marvin Bagley, who has been going through it this offseason.
You know, I love Marvin, too. You know, he's my guy. I just feel that, you know, when you've been a number two pick, and like, and it's just, for instance, if I put you in a number two pick, you and Marvin Bagley, you put him in this spot. You're number two pick. You get drafted, and you had an injury problem, and you can't really do nothing about that. You know, you work your butt off to get back, you get back, and then you get hurt again. And as a number two pick, a young player, you come in, you gotta, like everybody said, you gotta get yourself established in the league. So he's just trying to get himself established, and like he haven't really been do that. We all know he can play, but his downfall is just trying to stay healthy, and he's been working his butt off every year, every summer, every time he's an injury, trying to work his butt off to get back. But when he goes on the court, his frustration is like, you know, I'm trying to prove everybody that I can play this league. And like, you know, in this league, like, they try to put a mark on you, like, well, he ain't done nothing yet. And coming from me, you put yourself in his shoes, like, you know, I'm trying to prove myself that I can play. And that's what's all he's trying to do, showing like he can play and that he can help a team win. And that's everybody's mindset, you know, everybody's goal. And I feel his frustration, like he's trying to like put in a situation where he can help some team so he can maximize himself and maximize the team too. So I feel where Marvin's coming from. And like I say, you put yourself in his shoes, you feel that same way too. Me and number two pick. And you know how the media is. You know, he's a young kid. They put the pressure on him. And he's just trying to prove himself that he's ready to take that next step, you know?
I disagree with that last part. He's saying, you know how the media is. They put the pressure on him. Dude, the pressure, quote unquote, that's being put on Marvin Bagley is the same pressure that's going to be put on anybody who is drafted second overall. You can't say the media is putting pressure on him. Like, come on. Like, there is an expectation when you are taken second overall, when you are a heralded prospect out of a top university. Don't try to say, you know how the media is. They're putting pressure on him. I would hope Marvin Bagley is putting more pressure on himself than the media is putting on him.
I would agree. Yeah. I'd say the draft class itself puts more pressure on him than anything. And look, the Luka comparisons, the Trae Young comparisons, the DeAndre Ayton comparisons, they're never not going to happen, even if we didn't focus on them from a Sacramento perspective. Even if Marvin Bagley was significantly better than what he is now, even if he was like a good, solid, consistent player that didn't get health or didn't get hurt all the time, we'd probably still be talking about Ayton, Doncic, and Trae Young as maybe better players than him, more than likely. And that's just the way it is. So that's where the
natural
pressure. But with Buddy's comments, Buddy has not been afraid ever to defend Marvin and step in front of Marvin. And I do appreciate that. I know they have, or at least from what I understand, they have a pretty solid relationship. Mm-hmm. And Buddy Hield has been willing to answer questions and step up and speak on behalf of Marvin when Marvin has not at times. So I appreciate him continuing with that. But like you said, the comments at the end, the pressure coming from media and not from Bagley himself or anywhere else is a little silly, a little ridiculous. I mean, it's just pointing blame where it's unnecessary. And I do know, if we're talking about differences of opinions in the locker room or mm-hmm. rifts in the locker room, I do know that Marvin Bagley, his drama and his issues with family or on social media or what have you, has caused issues and has at least invited discomfort into a locker room where players like Harrison Barnes, De'Aaron Fox, coaches Luke Walton, they have to talk about and answer stuff like this, which they don't want to deal with. So it's a big, messy issue. I do appreciate Buddy Hield, though, staying consistent and standing up for Bagley and reminding everybody that it's a lot to live up to. Buddy Hield is a good teammate.
Buddy Hield is a great teammate. And so, you know, to put a bow on this whole thing, I don't know if Buddy's going to be here next year. I think this is going to be a offseason that is going to be wild when it comes to trying to predict what parts are going where. I mean, you could see mass changes on this roster. I would not be shocked if you saw minor changes on this roster just because it seems like the front office is willing to stay patient despite the fan base not wanting it.
Well, financially, they can't really afford to stay patient at this point.
Yeah, and so it's going to be wild. I don't know if Buddy Hield's going to be back next year, but while I have been critical, like everybody else, of things with Buddy on the court, I have enjoyed him mm-hmm. in Sacramento.
He's given us great moments.
He's given us a ton of great moments. I think he is a great teammate, and I just enjoy him as a human being, you know? And I think in moments like this, in interviews like this, you see the human being of Buddy Hield, who's just a very happy-go-lucky guy, who's also a very honest and direct guy.
Yeah, I think Buddy Hield has the most buzzer beaters in, like, recent Kings history, too. Like, a close second might be De'Aaron Fox, but, like, he's had a
buzzer
lot.
Buzzer beaters?
Like, game-winners.
Yeah, I'd have
like,
to go back.
He has a couple threes, the tip-in.
The Detroit game, the Denver game.
Yeah, so, but that's beside the point.
Right.
Buddy is Buddy. Buddy is his personality, and sometimes that gets him into trouble, and other times that's just Buddy being Buddy, you know, and that's, we kind of enjoy that from a media standpoint. He has actually a really fun relationship with Sacramento Bee's Jason Anderson, which is mm-hmm. fun to see play out and see Buddy's interactions. So there has never been a personal issue ever with Buddy Hield, and I don't think there ever should be. But in terms of fit with the Sacramento Kings going forward, there is a concern.
Yeah.
In terms of his contract, there is a concern. And it's for those reasons mainly that I hope Buddy Hield is not on the Sacramento Kings next season. I hope they're able to find a deal and move on from that money because they could desperately use it.
And I hope he's successful wherever he goes.
And for the most part, I think he will be. Mm-hmm. I think Buddy Hield needs to go to a place where he is. It's clear what his established role is. He can plug and play and shoot and do what he does best. And on top of that, he needs to go somewhere where it's not an option or there's not potential for him to be the guy or option number two. He needs to be number three or four at best. And if he goes there, he's going to be tremendously successful. I honestly believe
I
that.
I agree with
tremendously
you.
Successful.
All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we still got a lot to get to, including a British Open update, once in a blue moon, and at 8:40, All-Star Trivia, Major League Baseball edition. For tickets to check out the Eagles, they're coming to Golden One Center this October. We got all that coming up for you next segment.
The highest rated morning show on KHTK. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
1-800-920-1140. You're going to want to have that number handy because coming up here in about 8 minutes at 8:40, we got a pair of tickets for you to check out the Eagles in October at the Golden One Center. You're going to have to know a little baseball trivia, however.
Call in quick so you can get a line before Carmichael Dave clogs
no
it up.
No kidding, right? Jeez, dude, save the line for the listeners.
Jeez.
Good
Imagine.
Lord.
Carmichael Dave thinking the phone lines are his just because his name's on the show.
What a jerk.
Who do you think we are, huh?
.com.
It's J-Man in the morning.
Hey, now. We also got Once in a Blue Moon coming up here in just a second. But right now, our British Open coverage is brought to you by Naturewood, where it's all about choices and always about quality. Of course, the British Open, is that the biggest of the four majors to you? Some people think that. I think it's the Masters. I have felt the Masters is probably the biggest of the four.
It's the Masters.
But either way, not looking good already for the Open in this standpoint. We know Zach Johnson tested positive for COVID. He had to pull out. Of course, he won the tournament in 2015. Hideki Matsuyama, speaking of the Masters, this year's champion, he is also pulling out, Matt, due to not feeling prepared enough after coming off of a bout of COVID-19. So the British Open, the last of the four majors, already losing two stars.
Yeah, disappointing, but the field is still super, super, super loaded. So it's not going to have such a massive impact that their presence or their lack of their presence is going to be felt. But it's disappointing. I mean, you want the best, everybody to compete. And especially, you don't want people to drop out for COVID-related reasons, which we talked about earlier, Jay.
Right.
Like, I almost got to a spot where I had forgotten. Like, I can never forget 2020 and COVID and all the crap. But I remember seeing on, was it Sunday night that the NBA Finals Game 3 was? It was Sunday night, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Sunday night, they kept showing crowd shots of the Milwaukee fans that were outside the stadium that were watching the game, like just all huddled together. It was a massive crowd that was out there and everybody standing shoulder to shoulder. And I was like, I remember when this image would have been concerning and like we never thought we'd see this again midway through COVID in 2020.
Well, so, I thought I'd see it again. I just didn't think.
It felt like, for me, it felt like,
you know, for
like
me,
seeing a full stadium on like a highlight reel. And I'd go, will we ever get back to that? Like, not to be overdramatic,
sure.
But I was like, it felt so far away.
You know, for me, it's very normal to see full stadiums again. I don't know why. I guess it's just because, I don't know, after 35 years of seeing them, it was normal again.
Yeah.
So, no, for me, I'm happy to see full stadiums.
I'm excited to be in one.
Yeah,
like, no, Golden One Center, I hope California Classic. They never open up fully for California Classic anyway, I believe.
They'll have tickets for sale, though.
Oh, for sure they will.
I'm looking forward to going.
I just want to see, hopefully, the lower bowl is full.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot of people there that have
been
just dying
please.
For some basketball. That'll be at the California Classic.
No cardboard cutouts. I'm good.
For real. All right, Once in a Blue Moon happening right now.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Matthew, I got a twofer for you today.
Oh, boy. I want number two first.
Nah, number one comes first.
Oh, dang it.
In many aspects of life. Anyways, the U.S. men's basketball team suffered its second loss in 3 days, falling to Australia in Las Vegas last night, 91-83.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first time Team USA has lost back-to-back exhibition games since professionals started playing in 1992. They were 54-2 in exhibitions in that span prior to this. Now, I want you to, let's put this in perspective from a timeline. From July 21st, 1992, to July 9th, 2021, nearly 30 years, over 10,581 days, they had two exhibition losses. Let me say that one more time. Between July 21st, 1992, and July 9th, 2021, 10,581 days had two exhibition losses.
Is that good?
It's pretty decent. July 10th through July 12th of 2021 is 3 days, 2 exhibition losses.
Ooh, that's not great.
So clearly Team USA from an exhibition standpoint, not exactly living up to the standards set by the previous teams before them.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Just disappointing. I mean, we got to blow it up. Like, Greg Popovich can't coach anymore.
According to Stephen A.
Like, the USA it has fallen off. They should move the NBA to, like, Canada or South America or probably just Europe. We don't deserve it anymore. Like, I think we should put half the NBA in Nigeria and the other half in Australia. I think they've won it from us. I think that's how it works.
That's pretty dramatic.
Nope. That's how it works. Like, if Team USA loses 2 games in a row, it's like it's time to shut down the country. Like, we need to split up into our own individual states now. We are now our own countries. Team California would never lose.
So, obviously, the 04 team that took the bronze medal is the one that, like, sticks out like a sore thumb.
Right.
Do you think this team – I think this team will medal. I have them as my gold medal finish.
Yeah, they're going to – I think they're going to finish
gold. You still think they're going to finish gold? You're not concerned at all that, hey, man, clearly with them losing to Nigeria and Australia, while it doesn't spell doom, it does say, hey, this team is capable of being upset in the early part of the tournament.
I guess I'm concerned in the sense that I acknowledge that it's very possible now, like versus going into the blind confidence of we're Team USA, just forfeit. We're going to win. Like, that's so in that sense, the concern is there. It's different. But also part of me kind of expected this, Jay. Like, part of me expected that the quality of competition was going to be better just because of the amount of international talent that is coming to the NBA and excelling. So I think it's great for the game of basketball. Like, the better talent around the world, like, the better for basketball, period. And we know the game continues to grow all over the world, too. So I think it's fantastic. I'm looking forward to competitive matchups. I'm looking forward to Team USA having to really break a sweat and grind it out in a fourth quarter. So I'm here for it. I can't wait. I'm more invested now than I was before.
Because they
lost.
Interesting. It's an interesting storyline. It's an interesting way to look at it. I always watch Team USA basketball in the Summer Olympics. It is one of my sports that I like to watch, especially because sometimes they use round ball rock, which I miss the most when they intro the game. So overall, though, I'm with you. I just think that this team will figure it out. But when you lose 2 exhibition games, I look at this more as this team just came together. They're not even fully together yet. Remember, I think it – who is it? It's Middleton, Booker, and there's one other player in the finals right now that's going to come over. I know Middleton and Booker for sure. Who's the other? Is it Drew?
It might be Drew.
It might be Drew. I know Booker Middleton for sure.
I'm going to look it up.
So they don't even have a full roster yet. So they've only been practicing for God knows how long. This roster also not put together with the idea of putting, hey, let's get the best 12 or 15 guys that form a cohesive unit together. It's, hey, let's get the best 12 or 15 guys that from a talent standpoint. So you're going to obviously have just some chemistry issues off the top.
It's Drew.
It's Drew? Okay, so yeah, you got Middleton, Booker, and Drew coming over. So you're going to have to work them in when you already have some chemistry issues. That's the only thing that scares me is early on because you're still trying to figure some of this stuff out. And when you got guys coming over, and we don't know because we don't know how long the finals is going to go. The finals could go 7 games, which will only delay that and make their inclusion onto the roster even more of an issue when it comes to chemistry. So
yeah, but also big players step up in big spots, and when the games become meaningful, the being invested in it, because nobody on that Team USA wants to be the team that doesn't medal or that is bronze again or really only gets silver. Nobody wants to be that.
No.
So I expect Team USA to pick it up. I still expect them to win gold, although I don't think it's going to be an easy road by any means.
All right, let's get a winner right now.
It's coach's fault.
I agree. Popovich is ruining everything. All right, we got tickets to check out the Eagles at the Golden One Center in October, and we're just going to go down the line. So whoever the first caller is, you got to do a little MLB All-Star trivia. Yesterday we asked you who was the last Oakland A to win the Home Run Derby. Yoenis Cespedes won it twice. I think he's the only Oakland A, so I could have probably just asked it that way too.
I think you're right.
Or did McGuire win it as an A? I think McGuire may have won it as an A. I take that back. But anyways, 1-800...
I should know that.
1-800-920-1140. If you think you got a little MLB All-Star trivia
that
you can answer, here's what I will tell you. It is a question that is recent, and I will give you multiple ways to answer it.
Is the answer Shohei Ohtani?
The answer is not Shohei Ohtani.
I'm still taking the tickets.
All right. Let's go right now. Line one, good morning. Who's this? Hello? Is the phone up?
This is Richard.
Hey, Richard. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
All right. You a big Eagles fan?
Eagles fan?
The band, not the football team.
Oh, yeah, I like the Eagles. You threw me there.
All right, so I'm going to ask you one question. Let's test your MLB All-Star trivia.
I'll make it easy, man.
All right, Rich. Give me one. Name one player who has won the All-Star Game MVP in the last five All-Star Games.
Ooh. Oh, how about Aaron Judge?
Aaron Judge has not won it. That is a good try, Richard. Thank you. KCK, good morning. Who's this?
John Tyson.
All right, John. For tickets to check out the Eagles this October at the Golden 1 Center, name one player who has won the All-Star Game MVP award in the last five seasons in Major League Baseball.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is correct. Mike Trout won his second in 2015. The other choices, Eric Hosmer won it with Kansas City in 2016. Robbie Cano with the Mariners in 2017. Alex Bregman in 2018 with the Astros. And the last All-Star Game MVP, Shane Bieber in Cleveland. All right, hold on for me, buddy. We're going to get some info from you here in the break, okay? Congratulations.
Thank you much. Appreciate it.
All right.
I forgot Bregman won it.
Yeah, Bregman's won it. There's some interesting names on here. Do you remember in 2012 with the Giants, Melky Cabrera winning it?
Yes. I remember Melky being really, really good that year, and then wasn't that the letdown year when he got popped?
That is exactly. And they won the World Series that year.
Wah, wah.
All right, I'm trying to see. All right, let's really test Matt's trivia.
Oh, no.
Matt, who was the last Oakland A to win an All-Star Game MVP? I'll give you a hint. It happened in 1988.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I wasn't even around.
But you know the history of the franchise a little bit.
Sure. I'm just going to say Ricky Henderson.
No, it was not Ricky Henderson. And I believe Ricky was in New York.
Oh, that's right. He was 88. He was gone. I have no idea.
And I think I'm looking through. It's the only A to ever win it. Terry Steinbach. The great Terry Steinbach, catcher for the Oakland A's, won the All-Star Game
MVP. I never would have guessed that.
Award in 1980. Well, now you have something fun to share with everybody around the building today.
I'll forget it in 20 minutes.
All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we got What's on Tap, followed by a crossover, and potentially a cameo from one Carmichael Day. We'll see if he picks up. All coming up next.
Yeah, let's go, come on!
Uh-huh!
It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Food That Never Gets Old.
Food that never gets old. Boy, do I got a laundry list of that.
I don't mean like stale. I mean like you could have it over and over and over again.
Chicken nuggets. Chicken tenders.
Okay.
Fried chicken.
Okay.
Chicken sandwich.
Chicken.
Grilled chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Chicken parmesan.
Uh-huh.
Chicken panini.
Okay.
Oven roasted chicken.
Uh-huh.
Boiled chicken is even not that bad. Pressure cooked chicken is really good, especially if you get a nice curry sauce to pressure cook it in.
We could have saved a lot of time if you just said chicken.
No, but the spectrum of chicken is so wide.
Wow.
You can't just cast an overall general chicken. You can't do it.
Chicken's got range? Is what
chicken's
you're
telling
me?
Got. There is no
free range
food. There is free range chicken. There is no food quite like chicken, my friend, that has the range. Like, there's just not. You can just do so much with it. It's a wonderful bird. A great bird at that. Also included pizza, burgers, Chinese food, Thai food, sushi. Yeah, all that stuff.
Okay, then what the hell does get old? Like, it's good, but if you have too much of it, you're
salmon,
like, okay.
Kale. That's about all I got for you.
I expected the other list to be longer and the first one to be shorter.
Listen, I'm a positive guy, dude. And I have been around and swam around the different foods in the world, my friend, and I just like a lot, and a lot of them don't get old.
Mm.
Sorry.
Fruit doesn't get old.
Nah, fruit gets old.
Well, I mean, it gets stale, but it doesn't get old.
That's where you go with when it comes to foods.
No, you named everything else, so I might as well get something different that you didn't name.
How about vegetables?
Yeah, well,
you
some.
Throw them a lot.
No, some, like cucumbers. Cucumbers never get old. Cucumbers are great. Salads never get old. Salads are good.
Give me something tasty.
Cucumbers and salads are very good.
We're not going to go with candy, sugar,
oh,
ice
well, sure,
cream.
Sure.
I mean,
well,
come
I mean,
on.
No, some, a lot of, actually, truth be told, a lot of candy does get old. If you have a lot of the same kind of candy over a period of time, you really just don't want it that much anymore. You have to take a break. Like, I go on different candy, like,
binges.
So it's gummy worms, and then it'll be gummy bears, and it'll be like Skittles, and then it'll be like Starburst, and then a little bit of chocolate, or M&Ms. Like,
so
but I can't
do
it like a lot.
Fruitier candies.
Yeah,
color.
I'm a fruitier candy guy, for
hey,
sure.
No. What's on tap today? Quite a bit. The MLB All-Star Game, 4:30 on Fox. This is tomorrow, but we can already start previewing it. Phoenix and Milwaukee, that is on tap. And I think, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, Team USA plays again today.
Do they?
I think they do. I'm trying to find that right now. Espen's not helping me with that much.
Come on, Espen.
I think Team USA, going for a third straight loss, I do believe they play today. I'm trying to pull that one up right now. Can't find anything on it, but I am almost positive that I saw they play today because they had Nigeria, they have Australia. Who would they play today? I don't know. Anyways, the Olympics are 9 days. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Yep, they do play today against Argentina.
There you go. I knew I saw that somewhere. So
in Vegas.
Yeah, USA Exhibition Basketball and the MLB All-Star Game tonight. That is what is on tap.
But here's the most interesting game. Australia versus Nigeria for the battle of who is supreme. Who is the supreme defeater of USA? Who conquers USA? Is it Argentina?
No, so this is the real championship tonight. Yeah. Screw the gold medal. Screw the Olympics.
Absolutely.
This is what we got going on tonight.
Australia versus Nigeria. Who owns USA now? Who controls it?
Interesting. I like that. You want to cross it over?
Let's do it.
All right. Cross over right now.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Hey, guys. Crossover time for you.
He's back.
And yesterday on our show, we were talking about the ESPN list of top 10 quarterbacks that were, according to NFL executives, they had their ranking. Now, one player that was listed off of the top 10 was Deshaun Watson. Also, the 49ers and the Raiders didn't have their quarterbacks make the top 10 of Derek Carr and Jimmy G. So the question for you is, where would you put Deshaun Watson in the list of NFL quarterbacks 1 through 32? Same with Derek Carr and Jimmy G.
I'm wondering if they left Watson off for the personal issues that he is having.
I think that's a big thing to do with it.
Because if not, I still have him as a top five quarterback in the NFL.
I don't know top five.
Because who is their top five was Mahomes was one.
It's going to be Mahomes. Brady is probably still up
there.
No,
Brady was third. I saw the list. I'm trying to remember.
So Brady was third, so he was top five?
Yeah, Brady's top five. Josh Allen was number five.
Josh Allen was in there.
Let me pull up their top five real quick. I know Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Rodgers I think was two. I think it went Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Lamar, and then Josh Allen, but I'm going to double check that.
Well, while you're looking it up, I will say...
Here, I have it right now. Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't Lamar at four. It was Russ Wilson at four.
Russell Wilson. That's what I was going to say. Is Russ in there?
So they have Mahomes one, Rodgers two, Brady three, Russ four, Allen five. I would probably put Watson at four.
Really?
Yeah, and I would actually, I'd keep Josh Allen at five, and I'd move Russell down to like six.
Wow.
For the Raiders and the Niners, because I'm trying to remember
I think,
32 quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
I feel like Carr is smack dab around 15, 16, 17,
yeah,
like right in the middle. And I'd say Jimmy G is probably like 20, 21.
I would put Carr in, and again, I'm sorry, I don't have the full list of quarterbacks in front of me, but just from what I'm gauging, I'm kind of in the same realm as you. I would have Carr somewhere right there around 14 or 15, 16 maybe. And then Jimmy G between 18 and 20, more so because his injuries, not because he's a bad quarterback. It's just the unreliability there.
I think he's just fine. That's the thing. Jimmy G's just fine.
Yeah, he's just overpaid.
In a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, Derek Carr is just fine, too. Derek Carr could be good, but...
Derek Carr in the right setting. Put it this way. I would take Derek Carr over Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, hell yeah.
10 days a week.
That's why he's higher. I'm just saying both of those guys are... Like, Jimmy's... average to below average when you hold him up to the rest of quarterback competition. I think Derek Carr is smack dab average. Just right in the middle.
We got 2 minutes left. Does Dave call in?
No.
You don't think he'll call
absolutely
in
not.
2 minutes?
He's
in the chat
me?
Right now.
No, he 100% will not because he's bitter that we didn't pick up in the first segment. Because we were doing a show, Dave.
Do you think he's really mad?
No.
Like, do you think I'm going to walk into, like, the wrath of Carmichael tomorrow?
Oh, he does say there is going to be like, consequences. He said that.
Will there be steakums thrown at
me? Because, you know, Dave, he controls our careers, so we have consequences if we don't do what Dave wants.
Wow, look at you throwing shots!
I'm out of here, baby! I'm running away! I'm like Conor McGregor talking crap with my ankle snapped against the fence.
That should be it. I'm bald so I can play Joe Rogan. Just you laying down with your legs.
I will
snapped.
Not say what Connor said, though.
If Dave has about a minute to call, if he doesn't, just a little bit of breaking news out of the NBA. The Pelicans are planning to hire Suns assistant coach Willie Green as their new head coach. Willie Green's only 39 years old, played 12 seasons in the NBA, and has apparently a strong reputation across 5 seasons as an assistant coach. So shout out to Willie Green getting a shot.
Good.
Shout out to Zion Williamson getting his third coach in as many years. Will Willie Green have more success than Alvin Gentry or Stan Van Gundy in maximizing Zion Williamson? Matt, you're the only person I know that would know that. Give it to me.
Yes. Because I think Zion's just going to get better because it's going to be third year Zion. And can we please, for the love of God, go one season without talking about where Zion should end up and why Zion should leave New Orleans and go to L.A. or New York?
Unless it starts leaking that he wants to come to Sacramento, then we can talk about it all day. All right, we just got a few minutes. Before we go, I got to give a huge happy birthday shout out to the Sacramento Kings legend. I think he's either 56 or 58. Sorry, I screwed up your age. Spud Webb! The great Spud Webb has a birthday today, so happy birthday, Spud Webb.
Hey, Spud.
Matt, you got 7 seconds. Anything else?
I had a great time with I can't wait to do this again. Now, Lord of the Rings, what I want to tell you about...
Goodbye.